Hi everyone, my name is Jaganesh. This is Embedded Systems Podcast. Are you a student learning embedded systems? Are you a junior engineer starting your career in an engineering company with complex embedded systems? Then you are listening to the right podcast. Even if you are not anyone of the above, you can still get something out of it. This episode is all about an introduction to this podcast. I worked with great companies where I get to teach beginners. I'm going to share some lessons learned from my past and everyday experiences. The best way to learn embedded systems is by knowing some history with respect to the topic. My plan is to choose a topic and talk about some history and its current state. Maybe use an example if required or possible. I will attach transcripts and references in the description. There is a misconception that you have to be a good developer engineer first to become a technical manager in the embedded systems field. I disagree, because you have to first become a good manager by managing your own time, expectation, and learning process to become a better developer or engineer. In a way, this podcast might help you think like a manager and become a manager soon, at least to manage yourself and your tasks at work or in school with respect to embedded systems. How conventional training works. Why it is so hard to get started fast in this field. As you know, nothing exists in a vacuum. Something is related to something all the time. The same applies to embedded systems. It is not just the hardware, it is not just the firmware, it also includes user interface design and user experience design. It is harder because all these topics are taught separately and not much info is provided to link these things together in earlier stages. System engineering plays a big part too. We will look into system engineering in the following episodes in more detail. Let's get into the definition for embedded systems. There are multiple definitions. One I like the most is, it is an electronic system that is designed to perform a dedicated function and is often embedded within a larger system. Examples are digital alarm clock, electric toothbrushes, digitally controlled toaster ovens, home alarm systems, traffic signals, railroad crossings, automobiles, etc. It is also important to state what it is not. It is not an embedded system if it allows multiple general purpose functions. Examples are your typical smartphones, laptops, and desktops. It is not an embedded system if there is no digital processing involved. Examples are fan with only a motor and a switch, conventional electric bulbs with only a filament. When it comes to dedicated functions and mass production requirements it entails, constraints will follow, both hardware and software. Hardware constraints are power, speed, memory, peripherals, and also a very important one, that is price. Software constraints are deterministic behavior, performance, fault tolerance, self-diagnosis, etc. The above constraints apply to the system depending on where it is deployed. We'll look into these constraints in more detail with some real-world context in future episodes. People also talk about real-time systems, something about soft real-time and hard real-time. What are those? All embedded systems you interact with will perform three main functions. It reads input data from their environment, executes a computational algorithm, generates some kind of output that interacts with the environment. It is true in most systems. Inputs, algorithms, and outputs may vary based on the target application and complexity, but it will be there. When the timing requirements for the above functions are stringent, that is, failure to meet the timing expectation will become fatal, then it is a hard real-time system. Examples are anti-lock braking systems, anti-missile systems, cardiac pacemakers, etc. When the timing requirements have tolerances, then it is a soft real-time system. It still has to be within the absolute maximum. Failures in soft real-time systems are not going to be fatal, but an inconvenience. Examples are digital cameras, global positioning systems, wireless routers, etc. Then what is IoT? Everybody talks about IoT now. Where does this fall? IoT device is an embedded system with a communication path to a larger ecosystem. IoT is a concept where multiple devices interact with each other to achieve a high-level function or value-added functions. It can be achieved with the use of a broker or without it. We'll dive deeper into IoT topics in future episodes. There are some general recommendations I would like to provide when you jump into this learning process. Stop relying on search engines, streaming sites, and software forums to look for tutorials to start with and search for answers when you face a problem. Things are scattered, out of order, and out of context there. The contents there will easily confuse beginners and is not good for the long term. Get a good reference book. The number of books you will refer to will only go up as you learn more. Prepare yourself. Document your learning steps. Keep a journal of what you learned by date and from which source. We are now at the end of this episode. If you enjoy this show, please rate and review it. In this episode, we covered what is embedded systems and what is not with examples. Also, we covered a few tips on accelerating the learning process. In the next episode, I'm going to talk about the importance of the design first mindset when you start creating your embedded systems projects. This is Jay Ganesh. See you next time.